We're going to look this morning at a what may be a very familiar passage of Scripture to some of you. It's a powerful couple verses, and it has such an application in so many different areas. We're going to look first and foremost at one perspective where it applies, but it will apply in so many other areas, so we'll look at that. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for this day. This is the day that you've made. We rejoice and are glad in it. And God, I thank you for your word. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, or it is God-breathed. You have breathed it out. And God, it is so important. You have set it down for us so that we can learn, so that we can hear it, so that we can see it, so that we can return to it, so that we can meditate on it, and so that we can be changed by it. It refers to your word in many different ways, one of which it compares it to water. And it talks about by the washing of the water of the word, our mind is renewed. And Father God, I thank you that today, as your word is spoken, it will have great impact, for it if it is received, Father, it can bring eternal change, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." Now, there are many very important words in these two verses, and we're going to look at some of these as we go forward. But I want to talk about this first and foremost. This really talks about it being a heart issue. Now, I'm not talking about the muscle in the core of your being that pumps blood. I'm talking about your heart, your spirit, and the core of who you are, the inner man. And that's where the issues begin and where there is such a change that can take place which will affect the outside. But it begins at the core of man. And as I make that statement, I want to look at this out of Proverbs chapter 4, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. And it says here, "Keep thy heart," or "keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Out of your heart are the issues of life. Now, this is so important that God put this in here, and this is a verse that you can read right over and you can miss the depth of this. But he says, keep your heart. Now, the first thing that you need to understand is when he says keep your heart, that is written in the imperative. That means that is a command. This is not a suggestion. He is talking to humanity and he says, keep your heart. It means that word keep means to watch or to guard. To watch or to guard. And he tells us to do that. And he's talking about your heart. Why is this so important? Well, we'll get to that here in just a moment. But he says, keep it with all diligence. Now, that word diligence actually has to do with, again, a guard that keeps a close observance on something. So he is re-emphasizing, watch your heart and keep a close observance on it. Why is it so important? He says, for out of it, or some translations talk about for flowing out of your heart, are the issues of life. And that word issues, it really means you set the borders or the boundaries for your life. So you set the borders or the boundaries for your life on the inside of you. So we will set the borders that we will go to on the inside of us. We will only go as far as we set the borders for. Now, we can change those borders. We can push the envelope and move beyond that point, but we make those decisions. God does not set those borders for you. You must do that. Now, He gives us the proper borders in His Word, but you must set those borders on the inside of you. And when you set those borders on the inside of you, what you do is you keep yourself within the boundaries that He has set for you. There's another verse in the book of Proverbs, and I don't have this in my notes, but he talks about really your vision. And he says, without a vision, the people perish. Now, but it really has to do, and a better translation of that is, without a revelation or a revelation knowledge, the people, where it says perish, it means are unrestrained. So, people are bouncing off the walls when they don't have restraints. You set those restraints on the inside of you. And you do that by getting into God's Word and following His plan for your life. It will keep you within certain boundaries. And those boundaries are good for you. They are safe for you, and they are wonderful for you. So the first thing and where I was talking about, and let's go back again where we began, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. Well, if we're going to do that, and it is a heart issue, then we need to understand what trust really is. And in order to do that, we need to look at the Word of God. So the Word of God, and let's go ahead, if you would, the very first verse, I don't have it in that order, but the first verse again, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Yeah, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. So when He says trust, we need to understand what that word trust means. And it means properly to speed or hasten to for refuge. To speed or hasten to for refuge. Figuratively, it means to trust, to be confident in, or to be sure. It also means to set one's hope or confidence upon. And then finally, it means this, to throw oneself or one's cares upon another. To throw oneself or one's cares upon another. There is one that you can trust, and that's God Himself, the Lord. So we can thrust ourselves or throw ourselves and our cares upon Him. Now I'm back in my notes. First Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. It says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. No matter what your cares are, the Lord God Almighty, and we'll look at this here in just a few minutes, and we're not going to spend an inordinate amount of time today in this, but the Lord God Almighty can be trusted. He is good. He is good. He is good. He is worth listening to. He is trustworthy. And let me say this, He is faithful to His Word, which means He will be faithful to you. So He can be trusted. And so when He says casting all your cares upon Him, this trust, this trusting thing that we're talking about, is an active signification. In other words, we actively do this ourselves. We must trust Him. Now, we talk about trust with people, and trust is earned. Trust is earned. Now, I want everybody's attention. How many of you are breathing? Let's see your hand. How many of you woke up this morning? How many of you will have something to eat later? All of that is God's goodness. It even says He causes the sun to shine on the evil and the just. He causes the rain to come down on both. He can be trusted. He can be trusted to be good. You can't see him with your eyes, but I'm telling you what, he is worth your trust. He is worth your trust. So, who is it that we are to trust? Well, we are to trust the Lord God Almighty. We are to trust in him. Now, the word Lord in the Hebrew is the word Jehovah. Now, of course, in the original, you couldn't pronounce it because there's no vowels. But we transliterate it as Jehovah. And that word, Jehovah, is the self-existent one. The one who exists in and of himself. No one created him. And no one brings something to the table that he does not have. He is the self-existent one. He is, as he spoke to Moses, the I am that I am. No one created me. No one can bring something to me that I don't already have. He just wants us to be with him. You realize he created you to fellowship with you. And God wants that above everything else. He is worth trusting, and he is the one we are to trust. He is the always has been, is, and always will be God. He is the creator of all things. He is the almighty, all-powerful, all-creator of all things. He is God. He is the faithful God who can always be relied upon. He is the never changes God. He is the does not and cannot lie God. He is the God who knows you better than you know yourself. He is the God who cares deeply about you. And he is the God who has given you the Bible so that you might know him, so that you might know his son, so that you might know his ways, his will, and that you might have eternal life. That is who he is. And he can be trusted. He can be trusted. He can be trusted. So, let's go back again to Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord. Leaning upon who or what? Who are we to lean upon? We're to lean upon him. We're to lean upon him and his understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own understanding. The word lean means to lean. Quite simple. It means to lean upon. It means to support oneself. And figuratively, it means to trust the Lord. Now, we're going to get into this here in just a moment. God can be leaned upon as a more sure support for you than the walls around us or the floor on which you stand. I stand, you sit. He is very, very capable of being leaned upon. Now, there are different sources, and again, who or what are we to lean upon? We are to lean not on and to lean upon. Well, what are we not to lean upon? We're not to lean upon our own understanding. That means on our own wisdom. We're not to lean on our own wisdom. Well, what are sources of wisdom? Different sources of wisdom that one can lean upon. Well, you can lean upon yourself. That is sense, knowledge, and emotions only. And if you're going to lean upon your own knowledge, your own wisdom, you're going to lean upon your sense knowledge and what you have experienced. That's not going to be enough. You can lean upon other people's knowledge, other humans' experience, but it's still experience-based. Or you can lean upon the world's system and the world's knowledge. Now, I'm going to tell you, you do not want to do that. Because when I talk about the world's system or the world's knowledge, that was designed by the enemy, by Satan. I can show you that out of Ephesians chapter 2 in particular, where it shows you the design of this world system was made by Satan. So we're not to lean upon these things. What are we to lean upon then? We're to lean upon God and his understanding and wisdom. Now, I could go through the book of Proverbs and talk about wisdom. I could go through even the life of Jesus and talk about the wisdom of God. There's so much that we could talk about, but I just want to look at a couple of things here. And in John chapter 3 and verse 16, for this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. When it talks about believes in, that means the exercise of the mind. Most people get that. To believe with that, you know, to have an intellectual understanding, sure. But it means so much more than that. It means to believe in, to trust in. You put your trust in Him. Then get this, it means to lean upon and to totally rely upon. Now, I'm going to come over here to the wall for a minute. And I'm going to look at this. This is pretty solid, wouldn't you say? You think that'll hold me up? It better. So for me to lean upon this, I got to trust that it's going to hold me. So I trust that this is going to hold me. Well, guess what? It does. I believe it will. I trust that it will. I can lean upon it. And I totally and completely give myself to that. That is what it talks about when it talks about us believing in Him. It's more than intellectual understanding. It is to lean completely and totally upon Him. For if He does not hold me up, I will fall. But I'm telling you, He will hold you up. He will hold you up. He will hold you up. So we are to lean upon Him, and we're to trust in the Lord. We're to trust in the Lord. Now, again, where it talks about in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. So when it talks about to acknowledge Him, it again means more than just getting a mental understanding. It means to acknowledge or to know, to recognize, to admit, to acknowledge, and to confess. So when we talk about to acknowledge Him, it means to know Him. So you've got to know Him. Well, how do you know Him? You know Him by setting in the anointed preaching of the Word of God. You know Him by reading the anointed Word of God. You know Him by spending time with Him in prayer. And you know Him by spending time with Him in everyday life. So when you do that, you then begin to recognize Him. You begin to admit He's there. I need Him. You begin to acknowledge Him, and you begin to confess Him. And as you do this, you begin to confess who He is, what He is, and what He has for you. And as you do this, you begin to walk in what He has for you. You begin to walk in what He has for you. Now, John chapter 17 and verse 3. And this is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful verse. I love this verse, John 17 and verse 3. This chapter is amazing. But He says here, and this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. So when we were talking about acknowledging Him, one of the things I talked about was to know Him. To know Him. To know Him. Well, to know Him means, again, to have this eternal life that He talks about. And it in this section of Scripture, in John 17, the word know means, again, much more than intellectual knowledge. When you look that word up, it has to do with coming into a relationship with Him. And there are two aspects to that relationship. The first part of it is an approved relationship, And the second part of it is a loving relationship. Now, when I talk about an approved relationship, that means simply coming to Him the way that He says to come. You come to Him the way that He says to come. How are we to come to Him? We're to come to Him with absolute humility and childlike trust. A child will throw themselves into the arms of an adult, expecting that adult to catch them. And that's how we need to be with God. And there needs to be a simple humility of recognizing, I can't make it on my own, but I will lean upon You. I will trust in You. I will acknowledge You. And as I acknowledge You, I know You, and I come into that loving relationship with You. I come into that loving relationship with You. Now, going back to our primary scriptures, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will do what? Direct your paths. So when He says that, He will give direction for your path when you trust in the Lord with all your heart. Well, one of the things that He is going to do is He is going to lead you and take you upon a pathway that leads you to the Savior. I'm going to give you some verses. I'm going to go through these quite rapidly. Romans 3:23. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Romans 5:6. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Romans 4, verse 25. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and He was raised to life to make us right with God. And then Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. Romans 10, verse 9, it says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And then in verse 10, it goes on and it says there, for it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by you openly declaring your faith that you are saved. So He is leading us, first and foremost, on the pathway to eternal life. That's the first thing that He wants for you, because without that, you're not going to spend eternity with Him. But if you will listen, He has eternal life for you. And then, and this sermon I've actually entitled, Trust in the Lord for the Real Best Life. I get so frustrated with all the things that you hear. And it talks about, you know, I was looking at this the other day. Anybody ever watch The Brady Bunch? Oh, yeah. Most of us have seen it at some point in our lives. And they were talking about one of the guys who was on The Brady Bunch, the one that played Greg, and I don't know. No, it wasn't. It was one of the other ones. Anyway, doesn't matter. And it was talking about him at such and such an age, you know, now, and it entitled it Best Life. They have no idea what best life is. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You'll experience the best life. Because He will lead you to a pathway that He has chosen for you. The first thing is eternal life. But the rest of it is still a good life that He has for you. It's more than just a good life. It's the God-chosen life for you. You realize that He created you. He made you. He put things into you. He created you for a place. You are a puzzle piece that fits perfectly in the plan of God. And that plan of God that you fit perfectly into, you will fight against if you do not listen to Him. You will fit perfectly into the place that He has for you. So, directions for the real best life come from God, and they are received by faith. I want to talk about this for just a moment, and then I'm going to begin wrapping it up. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 26. And we're talking about the best life. The best life for me and the best life for you may not be exactly the same thing. No, let me rephrase that. They won't be exactly the same thing. Because you're different than me. You're different than me. And God has created me to fit into a certain spot. You know what? I'm a pastor. I'm a preacher. But I am different from Kenneth W. Hagin. He pastors at Rhema Bible Church. And we don't fit exactly the same place. We're both called to be pastors. But he fits into a certain place and I fit into another. I was called to Effingham. Thank God I was called to Effingham. I love Effingham. I do. This is where God fit me. I was made for this place. It's quite amazing because I didn't grow up here. But I fit here. God put me here. And it says here in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 to 26, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. So run to win. Run to win. And then in verse 25, all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. And then in verse 26, so I run, get this, with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I am about God's business. He has set me. And you say, well, you're a pastor. I don't care. I don't care if I was called to be a pastor or if I was called to do construction on roads. It doesn't matter. God creates you with purpose. I worked in the auto industry for decades. And I tell you, God creates people and he puts things into them that can work on stuff. Thank God he does, because I can't. I worked in the automotive industry for a long time. And I'm telling you what, being where God wants you to be, it doesn't mean that you're going to preach all the time, but it means that you release the essence of God where he puts you. And there is a place for you. There's a place for you in this world. Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 10. It says, for it was only through this wonderful grace that we believed on him. Nothing we did could ever earn this salvation, for it was the gracious gift from God that brought us to Christ. Then in verse 9 it says, so no one will ever be able to boast, for salvation is never a reward for good works or human striving. Verse 10, we have become his poetry. Now in the King James it says his master, or it says we have been made his workmanship. Other translations say his masterpiece. But I like this in the Passion. It actually talks about we have become his poetry. We are his voice in the earth. A recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us. For we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. You have a destiny. And listening to God, going to him in prayer and saying, God, is this what you want me to do? He'll answer you. The first thing is, you need to get saved. After that, you need to find out what your purpose is. And then you begin to step into that purpose. As we do, when God begins to reveal these things to us, we need to accept what he has said. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. And oh my, do I like this. For as many as are the promises of God, they find their yes answer in him. That is Christ. Now, what we were looking at out of 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and Ephesians chapter 2, God says you have a destiny. That is his promise to you. That is his word to you. All the promises of God find their yes answer in Him, in Christ. For this reason, we also utter the Amen, the so be it, to God through Him in the person and by His agency, to the glory of God. Let me give you a little bit of understanding what this is saying. God has a plan for you, but you must accept and approve that plan. And when you hear it, when you see it, when you understand it, you must say, so be it. That's your part. You say the so be it, and God says, all right, I got somebody I can work with. I got somebody I can work with. I got somebody I can work with. Very much like Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. I'm looking for somebody to send, and Isaiah said, here I am, send me. God is saying to you, I have created you with destiny, and you say, yes, sir, send me for the destiny that you have created me to both do and be. We say, amen. We say, amen. And then, in Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2, you're going to have to get a hold of this by faith. You grab hold of what God has said, and you may not have full understanding of everything He wants you to do, but you're going to have to walk this life by faith. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them. Why not? It was not mixed with faith in those that heard it. When you get a hold of what God says and you begin to say, so be it, you're going to have to walk this out by faith, because you're not going to see everything that God has. But I'm telling you what, He has a destiny for you, and it is good. It is good. And it is by faith that you're going to have to walk this out. And then the final scripture that I have in my notes is Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Let me give you a slight paraphrase of this. God is not waiting to beat you up. God is waiting, not as a closed-fisted God, but as an open-handed God willing to give to you what He has promised to you. And you access what He has promised by faith. Faith. Well, what is that? It is firm persuasion and conviction based upon hearing, which leads to a corresponding action. And that corresponding action, most of the time, sufficient action for your faith is your words. So be it. I believe it. I accept it. And I declare I'll walk this out. Now, God has a destiny for you, but it begins with eternal life. It begins with eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. We were completely and totally helpless and hopeless to save ourselves. We were without strength. That means we didn't have the wherewithal to save ourselves. God, knowing that, had a plan in place before you were ever born, and that plan was Jesus on the cross, and Jesus overcoming death. He has provided life for you, and He has a life for you, which is a life of destiny, but that life of destiny begins with eternal life being received. So, I'm going to ask every head bowed, every eye closed, if there's even a single person in here or watching online that would say, I have never received Jesus as my Lord, I've never been saved. If that's you and you want that, I want you to just raise your hand, and in a moment of time, this takes less than time to warm up your coffee in the morning. And you can be born again. You can have this eternal security. I'm going to heaven. So if that's you, I just want you to raise your hand. And if nobody does, we're just going to pray this prayer. And I'm going to ask everybody in the room to repeat it behind me. Those of you online, I'm going to ask you, if you've raised your hand, then, and you say, I want to be saved, pray this prayer. And all of you, I just encourage to pray this now. Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name. I admit I'm a sinner. I need salvation. I can't save myself. But Jesus died on a cross in my place, taking my sin, paying